It was coming, so what do? You get ready, right? You get the food ready, you get the house ready. We went over to my sister-in-law and brother-in-law Lexi's and Tom's house, and it was beautiful. Beautiful food, beautiful decorations, the kids were running around. It was great. Like, that didn't just magically happen. Like, us showing up magically happened. Like, we just showed up. Like, here's a pie from Costco, right? We were at the beach all day. But there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of work. There's this anticipation. And we anticipated it happening. We've been doing this now for 6-7 years. And even our kids, they're like, man, we can't wait to get over to Uncle Tom and Aunt Lexi's house. And we're going to drive the little ATV around. And Uncle Scotty's going to be in the backyard fishing. And we're going to have my favorite foods. And they have these traditions that are coming. And they anticipate them. I anticipate the sweet potatoes. They're good. I'm ready for them. I'm excited for them. But somebody's got to cook the sweet potatoes, right? And get it. So there's this season of preparation. And part of the preparation for historically within Christmas and Advent season is a moment of reflection. And what we're going to get into today is this anticipation of light. There's a reason we need Christmas. There's a reason we need the light of the world to come in with us, because the world is full of darkness, right? And part of Advent is looking at the darkness and saying, like, hey, we need the victorious King. We need somebody to come. There is darkness in the world. And so that is what Advent is. It's a reflecting, it's a preparing, it's a getting ready for the King to come back. An interesting thing for our culture and Christmas, we have these sort of trademarks of our culture. Christmas is a Christian thing, but it's also a secular thing. It's also a non-Christian. So it's not just Christians who celebrate Christmas, right? The whole town lights up. The whole town celebrates. No matter what your sort of religious backgrounds are, it's become this sort of cultural holiday, and you start seeing these trademarks of Christmas throughout the culture. And there's things like lights. We see lights on the tree. We see lights in the shopping plazas. We see lights on our houses. There's this idea of gifts, right? So there's people are giving gifts. People are preparing. For some of us, the holidays and the New Year's, it's time for a fresh start, right? Maybe the year didn't go the way that we wanted. Maybe the last decade didn't go the way that we wanted. And it's, hey, there's some hope. There's a fresh start. Another aspect of our culture is that people are more open to faith. It's a trademark. Even if you're a very non-religious person, you may be more open to faith. Like, if you're not a follower of Christ, if you're not a Christian, like, there's a good chance that you'd be open to, or you want to go to some sort of a Christmas service. And so all these things are trademarks of our culture. But what I want to do for the next 4 weeks is take these four things, take this idea of the lights that we see, the gifts that we give, this fresh start that we have, this openness to faith, and just unwrap them and get to the core of, like, hey, this is what they mean for Christianity. This is the original purpose of these things. We see glimpses of them everywhere, but why do we have those things? Why do those things matter? And so that's what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks as we look at this unwrapping of Christmas. And I pray that there's this sort of anticipation that you have, that an anticipation builds. You know, like, I still sort of do it, but, like, you know, kids with presents, there's this anticipation, like, hey, what am I going to get? Right? They start peeking around in your closet and all that stuff, and they start shaking the box. Like, what is it? There's an anticipation. And so that's what these next 4 weeks are. It's this anticipation for the ultimate gift, which is Christmas. But unlike the culture, which just kind of wants to cover up all the difficult things, all the sort of darkness. Like, we want to just sort of, like, put lights on top of it and get some more presents to make it go away and all these things. The Christian can actually take the time to reflect, to say, hey, there's some things that aren't right in this world. There's some things that aren't right with me. I'm going to actually prepare myself by not, like, avoiding darkness, but by actually looking at it and seeing how we can have hope in the midst of it. And so today we're going to talk about this anticipation of light. If we're going to look at light, it's helpful to look at why we actually need light. And we need light because there is darkness. Look at verses 4 and 5 of John 1. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." He says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The reason that we anticipate light, the reason that we need light, is because there's darkness. There's things that aren't right. And what John 1 is doing is he's given us this picture of Christmas. Like, to summarize Christmas, God himself comes as light into the darkness of the world. That's what it's about. That's what John's talking about in the very hard-to-read passage that Frank read for us. Christmas is about God who comes as light into a dark world. Tim Keller put it this way, and we talked about this last Christmas Eve service, but this is super important. He says, Christmas contains many spiritual truths. These ideas that I talked about of lights and gifts and a fresh start and a faith. It says, but it will be hard to grasp the others unless we grasp this first. That is, that the world is a dark place. G.K. Chesterton is a theologian. He said, the one Christian doctrine that everybody can agree on is original sin. That there's something wrong with people and there's something wrong with the world. Like, you don't have to be a Christian to like, oh yeah, I can see that. You know, I may not believe in the resurrection, I may not believe in all these different things, but we can all get on board as we watch the news, if we look around us, as we take the scary time to look within our own hearts, that like, hey, there's something just a little bit off. That the world is a dark place. And he says, and we will never find our way or see reality unless Jesus is our light. That we actually need light to come into the darkness. We're all in need of Christmas. And so today we're going to talk about, one, the need for light. The two, what the light accomplishes. And then the third part is light as a gift. So the need for light, what light accomplishes, and then light as a gift. One of the storylines that you see throughout all of Scripture, the whole Bible, so John 1 isn't just kind of appearing out of nowhere. It's part of a greater story. And what you see from the very beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But what's Genesis 1:2? So literally the second verse in the Bible, it says, the earth was without form and void. And it says what? And darkness was over the face of the deep. Third verse of the Bible, it says, what does God say? Let there be light, right? There's light coming into darkness. The second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, is Exodus 10:21. The people of God are enslaved. They're being overruled by Pharaoh. And he sends these plagues. And one of the plagues is a plague of darkness. In Exodus 10:21, it says that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. And then God delivers his people through the Exodus story, through the Red Sea. And what does he do to lead them, to guide them? In Exodus 13, it says that he gave them a pillar of fire will give them light. So God provides light in the midst of the wilderness, light in the midst of darkness. Isaiah was one of the prophets who would look ahead to this one that would come and bring light. And it says that he'll come from Galilee. And it says in Isaiah 8:22, and it says, and they looked to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness. Like, that's what they saw throughout the world. It says the gloom of anguish. And it says, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. So there's this theme of darkness. But what Karina read, it says in 9:2, it says, this one would come from Galilee. And it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, a light has shone. So you see this storyline throughout the Scriptures of there's darkness and God brings light. There's darkness and God brings light. There's darkness and God brings light. And that's what leads us into John 1. Light came into the world. And as Keller said in that book, Hidden Christmas, we just need to understand that we live in a world, one guy said, racked with darkness. There's conflict. Right? just a side note, holidays sometimes expose some of this darkness, right? There's conflict, there's relational conflict, there's violence. If you kind of go up into the world stage, there's just violence in the world that we live in. There's untold suffering in the world that we live in. Some of it's very dramatic, and then some of it's just it feels like almost normal now, but it's felt suffering. Some of you maybe went through some suffering over Thanksgiving. There's loss that you've had. There's things that you've gone through. But we lived in this world sort of racked with darkness, with conflict and violence and suffering. And look at me. This is just like the world that Jesus was born into. That's what Jesus was born to. Jeremy's going to preach in 2 weeks, and he's going to preach on Herod coming to try and kill all the little babies because they said that there might be a coming king. Right? So Jesus was born into, he intentionally came into a world of conflict and violence and suffering. There's darkness. And when the scriptures talk about darkness, that drives that ideas of evil, that there is violence. It drives that suffering can also just, or darkness can also just be ignorance. Like you don't have direction. And so what we see with darkness is, and we'll unpack each of these, it's disorienting, it causes distress, it causes disintegration or brokenness, and it ultimately leads to death. And we need to know that first, darkness is disorienting. Have you ever, so I'll wake up in the middle of the night and then try and go to the restroom, or maybe one of the kids is up in the middle of the night and then you're walking and it's super dark, right? We have two little dogs, so usually there's one that's black, and so I usually kick her a lot. Like I'm walking, also I'm like, ah! And then wakes up the whole house, right? So the darkness, you can't see where you are going. Now, some of us sort of know the house we live in, and we kind of know what to jump around, and like, oh, I'm glad they're kind of out of the Lego stage for a little bit, so you're not stepping on those. But it's disorienting. Or if you drive a car at night where it's just like dark, and you don't have lights, like you don't know where to go. And it's the same with the world. The world we live in, it's dark, and so it's disoriented. And so a lot of the brokenness we see in the world are just people trying to find their way in the darkness. And they're sort of grabbing at and grasping for anything that will give some sort of direction. That's what people are doing. Like most people like aren't like, hey, I'm going to be really wicked to you. I'm going to be really mean to you. Like, no. Like a lot of times they're just disoriented. They're hurt. They suffer. They have conflict. They're in pain. And they're just trying to find their way. They're trying to look at anything and everything for purpose to deal with the pain that they've gone through. So because darkness leads to disorientation. Darkness also leads to distress. You see it. There's just medical studies that are done that a lack of light equals depression. Like you can look at different parts of the countries and different parts of the world. If there's less light where you live, the rates of depression are higher. It leads to depression. It leads so as we look at the brokenness and the violence in the world, it leads to panic. It leads to anxiety. It leads to distress. Even in the world, like in our own lives. Darkness leads to disintegration. If there's no light, things fall apart. Right? If something doesn't see light, it's just going to disintegrate. Now, think about relationships. Think about marriage. Right? If you just kind of leave it alone, it's going to drift towards disintegration. If you don't bring light, if you don't pursue it, if you don't seek it to be whole, it's going to move towards disintegration or just even our physical well-being. If you just sort of leave it alone, like you don't come out jacked, right? What do you come out? You come out unjacked, right? It's over there, right? If you just leave it alone, it disintegrates. Like that's what darkness does. Like when it's not moving, it disintegrates, and ultimately darkness leads to death. Look at a plant. Stick it in a room. Make it dark. What's it going to do? Die. I'm like it needs water too, but like I'm like the master of this one, right? Friday night, We went on a little date. It was great. We forgot to stop and get a little bit of medicine and dog food. The dogs had like gone all day. I'm like, ah, they're just fasting for Advent. So I needed like, hey, they need dog food. And so I was like, let me run back up to Publix. And it's like 9:30 at night. This story could have been way better because I ended up taking an Uber at home at 9:30 the Friday after Thanksgiving. So it wasn't that kind of story. It was me going to get dog food and medicine. But I walk in, come back out. Doesn't start. Like there's no power. The car has died, right? There's no power. There's no light. There's nothing to spark the car starting. It started, went bad. So we went, yesterday was fun, right? Car towed, getting cars fixed and all that stuff. So, but darkness leads to death. It doesn't work anymore. If you go back to those stories in Genesis, God said, let there be light. But then in Genesis 3, they turn from the light. They turn from God and it leads to death. Exodus, the final plague, death. That's what darkness leads to. The storylines of the scriptures of Romans, it says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And ultimately, all things lead to death because of the darkness that's in us and around us. Now, think about your last year. Think about the last month, week. I can think about the last day, right? Messing with the car. Like how have you experienced darkness? How has darkness been done to you? How has darkness been done by you, by me? In that same article on the preparation for a celebration, she says that that we all have been wounded by darkness, and we all wield darkness. We all wield. Hey, all have been wounded. All have wielded darkness to hurt others. So yes, we've been unkind too, but we've been unkind to others, right? We've been, people have been impatient with us and we've been impatient with others. People have shown selfishness to us and we have shown selfishness to others. So we've all been wounded by darkness and we all have wielded darkness into others. So that's the bad news, okay? But Christmas is about good news, right? And so the world is described as darkness, but that's why we have this anticipation of light. It's what we all want. In that article, the author said that hunger is a great appetizer. Have you ever gone to a meal hungry? Karina talks about this when she was a little girl. Her dad used to work late. And she was like, Dad, Mom, I'm so hungry. She's like, Dad's not getting home till late. She goes, I'm just so glad you're going to eat all your food. Right? Right? Because hunger leads to... So there's this darkness that leads to this anticipation. We want light. We want to be rescued. We want to be redeemed. And so that's the good news of Christmas. There's this anticipation of light that we all want. Because what light accomplishes is the opposite of what darkness accomplishes. Light accomplishes truth and safety and beauty and life. Verse 9 says, the true light, which gives life to everyone, was coming into the world. Light brings truth. It allows you to see things as they actually are. Right? That's scary and good. Right? There's a saying, it was brought into the light. Right? It exposes things. It shows you how things actually are. Light gives direction. It gives truth. It's like, hey, this is true and right and good. And light does that. It says what? You're a lamp to my feet. The light of God gives us direction. It's truth. Light brings, instead of distress, it brings safety. Think about like when crime happens. When does crime happen? In the darkness, at night. It's dark. It doesn't happen in the light. We had some new neighbors moving in, and I don't know if I just noticed it, or maybe we got them. Everybody has these street lights out now out in front of their house, and they're on all the time. So instead of our house, like it'd be like pitch black down our little cul-de-sac, now it just lit up. I'm like, take the dogs out at like 4 a.m. I'm like, woo, all right, here we go. Right? It's light. It's light in the midst of darkness. It makes it safer. In describing Advent as this anticipation of life, it shows us that God is safe. Acts, the book of Acts says that in him we live and move and have our being. And so instead of distress, it brings safety. Light brings beauty. It allows us to actually enjoy things. And so if light reveals beauty, without it, we can't see. And so we live in this amazing, beautiful thing, this amazing, beautiful place. We've got a couple beach days this past week, and just being able to sit out there and watch the light and watch the water and watch the birds, okay? Take that big thing on fire out of the sky, and guess what happens? You don't see any of it, right? When you go to an art gallery and they have paintings, what do? They put a light above it. And so why? So you can actually see it. It reveals beauty. The scriptures say God is light. God is good. God is beautiful. He's the creator of beauty. He's the giver of beauty. And so light accomplishes beauty. In Hidden Christmas, it says, even when you seem to be enjoying something else, God is the actual source of your joy. The thing you love is from him and is lovely because it bears his signature. He's the one that brings beauty. So one of my favorite, even Thanksgiving, like, it's beautiful watching the kids run around and play in the jungle gym and like play tag in the house. And then it got not so beautiful when some darkness came in and started popping each other a little bit. But in general, it was beautiful. I was talking to Lloyd and he had gone fishing out, and he said he went to this lake up in Vero. He said it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. This lake, just being out there, and it's quiet, and there's water, and there's birds, and there's trees, right? It bears a reflection of God. It points us to him. He says, all joy is really found in God, and anything you do enjoy is a derivative. It's all from him. Because what you really are looking for is him, whether you know it or not. So there's people looking for beauty everywhere. But the Romans 1 says that they worship the creation as opposed to the creator who is blessed forever. You're not going to find ultimate beauty and satisfaction in the creation. It's just a pointer. It's just a derivative to find the beauty and know the beauty of God, which is ultimately displayed in Christmas. And the final thing that light accomplishes is life. We all need light for life. For things to flourish, for plants to flourish, for us to flourish, we need life. We need light. God's the creator of life. He's the sustainer of life. Jesus came in the world that we may have life. The good life, the perfect life, the life that God intended us to have. The scriptures talk about it being shalom. It's this perfection. That's what we were created for. And it's all from God. It's the light that he brings. That's what he was talking about when he says that the light came into the world, that he gives life. And so in the midst of darkness, what we need is light. Now, people try to deal with darkness in different ways. We try to deal with darkness, whether it's maybe the violence or the conflict or the suffering that we've gone through. We can try and cover it up. Right, we can try and cover up the darkness. Sometimes we do that just by buying more stuff. I don't know if this is exactly right, but they call it Black Friday. Like, right? Let me. It's on sale. Let me get it all. Right? No. And then you're just like, then you just got more debt. You're like, dang, darkness again. Right? It's. We can just think we can cover it up, or we think we can solve darkness. We think we can solve it ourselves. Like, if we just use a little more intellect, if we just get a little bit smarter, we can solve darkness. Or maybe we can just innovate our way out of darkness. We just need new and better gadgets and creations. And we can innovate our way out of it. But it's not true. The only thing that our intellect and innovation has caused is, like, we just got more powerful ways to kill people and inflict harm on others. Right? Now you can just blow up countries without even, like, getting in the airplane to go over there. You just send it off to do it, and then you can do untold damage to other people. That's what our innovation has led to. Or think of like social media. Like before, if you're just mean, like you had to kind of be mean to the kid's face, right? That actually took some courage. Maybe there's something good about it. Like that. But now you can just be mean, like woohoo! I can inflict darkness from behind the keyboard, right? And so and the darkness that we can. So we're not just mean to a kid to their face anymore. We're mean to a kid in front of an entire school, right? And so our innovation isn't creating more light. It's just giving more opportunity for darkness to go further and further. So we can't solve it ourselves. And that's why the story of Christianity, that's why the story of Christmas is what we actually need. This is what this anticipation of Christmas, it is. It believes, it says that the hope of defeating darkness comes from the outside in. It's not you mustering it up to do it. It's somebody coming into you and changing you. It's light coming into the darkness. And that's the only thing that will work. That's the only thing that will solve the darkness that's in us and around us. It's from the outside in. It's a gift. And so at Christmas, we celebrate light is a gift. It's the grace of Christmas. Look at verse 12. It says, but to all who receive him, who believed in his name, what did it say at the beginning? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They're born from God. They received it from God. It's outside in. It's not mustering it up yourself. It's God coming in as light into darkness. And that's what Christmas is. At the core, and this is an important one, we put it on the screen. Jesus is the gift of Christmas who has brought light into darkness. That's what's going on here. That's what John 1 is all about. That's what the whole Bible is all about. That's why it started in 1:1 and 2 and 3, and that's what the Exodus was about. That's what the prophets were about, all pointing ahead that the gift of Christmas who has brought light into darkness. Jesus is the gift of Christmas, right? He's the truth that heals our spiritual blindness, that heals our darkness, the darkness that's in us, the darkness that's around us. The darkness that's been inflicted on us and that we've inflicted on others. Jesus is the truth that heals us. Jesus is the one that came to rescue us. What did he do? He rescued us from the domain of darkness, Colossians 1, and transferred us into the kingdom of light. He takes us from the domain of darkness and brings us safely into his kingdom of light. That's what was going on the cross. The light of the world, right? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And what did he do? The sky got dark. He died. He experienced the darkness that our sin deserved on the cross, right? C.S. Lewis, in one of his writings, he talks about it was like Jesus was out in the middle of the ocean. And he just dove straight in down into the deepest darkness, into the grimy darkness of the ocean. And he grabbed the thing that he saw was beautiful. And then he burst up out of the surface as a resurrected light. That's what was going on at Christmas. He came and rescued us. He bring us safely out of the darkness of our sin and the sin around us. It's through seeing the beauty of Jesus that delivers us from the darkness of all the lesser things that we try to find life in. You know those things that you think, man, if I just got this, if I just had this, if I just experienced this, they're all lesser things. They won't deliver us. But when we see Jesus, when we see his beauty, when we see his goodness, it's what we need. And then, because God's like not anti-stuff as much as I think he is, but he's not, we get to enjoy the things. So get the presents, right? Enjoy the lights. Just don't make them the ultimate thing. You've been delivered from that. And it's through trusting him that we experience true life. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to have true life, the good life. And so Christmas is about this anticipation of light. And if we're going to anticipate light, we need to acknowledge that there is darkness, that there is need. And so our response today, and through this Advent season, is one, to acknowledge our darkness. Acknowledge our need of light that comes from outside of us. At the core, Christmas is a very humbling thing, right? It's like the gift that, like, you know somebody needs, but you're too scared to give it to them because it's offensive, right? I know I need this thing. That's what Christmas is. I know I'm dark. Jesus came as light. Acknowledge it. And then when you do, we get to unwrap and receive the gift of light, to receive the gift of life. He says, I want you to have life now. I want you to enjoy life now. Another aspect of Advent is that there's a second Advent. There's a day that Jesus will come back. And we're kind of waiting in that time. And there's going to be no more darkness. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more tears. There's going to be no more brokenness. There's going to be no more violence. And so until then, we wait. But we need to receive the gift of light. And then we live in light of it. We follow Jesus. We trust Jesus. We enjoy his beauty. And we give him control of our lives as he leads us and guides us and directs us so we can know him, we can love him, and we can know and love others. Let's pray.